I wonder, when was your last job interview? Some of you might have to have a think. But why don't you just say to the person next to you, when you roughly, how long ago you feel you had your last job interview? Okay. Does anyone in this room like job interviews? No. They're horrible, aren't they? Job interviews are horrible. You never know what they're going to ask. And you know, actually, in reality, that most people make an impression of you within about 30 seconds of meeting you. And it's quite hard to change that first impression. So if you arrive late, you're already on the back burner, okay? But one question... five interviews. Wow, Nirmal, last week. Wow, God. Well, not easy, but I'm glad he's doing that and we'll pray for him. But the most difficult question that they ask you is, what are your weaknesses? Isn't that the hardest question to answer? Because being human, and if you have any idea of yourselves, you know that there are many weaknesses. I could spend the whole time talking about my weaknesses, but you want to think of something that you can kind of put a positive spin on it. You know, I'm a perfectionist, or I work too hard, or, you know, those sorts of things that, you know, might work. But it's never an easy question. We don't really like to share our weaknesses. There's actually, in education, there's a move away from using the word weaknesses. And you use terms like, well, what could you have done better? And trying to think positively rather than thinking of something that's maybe set. In our success-driven world, where people post the best parts of their lives on social media, showing weakness is not easy. But we all have weaknesses. We all have insecurities. It's part of being human. Self-help tells you to tell yourself you're strong. Tell yourself you can do it. And there may be some help in that. There may be times when we need to be reminded that actually we're stronger than we think. But life hurts when we are so aware of our weaknesses and we can't seem to escape them. This morning we're going to look at weaknesses. And we're going to look at how we can live with our weaknesses and how God wants to work through our weaknesses and bring his power. And this morning we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you've got a Bible, you might want to turn there. I love that we've already sung some of the verses from this. Someone else prayed them. It's great that we're already there. Now, 2 Corinthians, you might think, was the second letter to the church in Corinth. But it wasn't. Okay, it was the fourth letter. The first letter we don't have, it's lost. The second letter is actually 1 Corinthians. The third painful letter, which Paul wrote, is probably lost. Although some say that maybe these verses were part of it. I'm not convinced. But this is the fourth letter that went to the church in Corinth. Corinth was a major city in the Roman Empire because of its location between two ports. You had, I don't know how you say this, but Lycaon on the north and Centre in the south. And what they actually did for smaller boats, rather than taking the treacherous route around the headland, is they'd just drag them. They'd drag them 3 miles across the land and they'd go past Corinth. And Corinth was a major city. They reckon by about the second century, it was the best city in the whole of Greece. But Paul's relationship with the church at Corinth was fragile. Even though Paul spent 18 months there teaching and establishing the church, he had a very difficult relationship with this church. He had spent much of his time, if you read these letters, Paul spends much of his time correcting the church or dealing with issues or reminding them of his unique relationship with them, and he loves them. But they seem to have lost sight of that. And we're going to read some of what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1 to 10. I'll give a little bit of context in a minute, but he says this. So, I must go on boasting, though there's nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from doing it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Lord, we want to ask that you would speak to us through your word this morning. Lord, for those of us who really struggle with our weaknesses, Lord, would you meet with us today? Lord, we want to pray that you would lead us in your paths, Lord. We don't want to be those who hide our weaknesses, but Lord, we want to be those who, like Paul, are willing to speak of our weaknesses, even to boast of our weaknesses, because that's where you will come and meet us in your power. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to get that in a minute. Boasting is like blowing up a balloon. Paul is facing a battle over the church at Corinth. His battle is primarily against, in 2 Corinthians, the so-called super apostles. Do you like that? Super apostles. They travelled to Corinth, probably from Jerusalem, and they are starting to turn the church against Paul. And their accusations against Paul were harsh and were many in number. Are you ready for this? They say that Paul writes bold letters from afar, but is meek when present. He acts in a worldly fashion. He wants to frighten people, but lacked commanding presence when with them. He was unskilled in speaking. His ministry lacked the signs of the apostle, miracles and healings. He lacked integrity in financial matters, and he didn't love them. That's what they're saying about Paul. That's all from these chapters, sort of 10 to 12. And the challenge for Paul was that he wasn't present. Remember, just before the recent elections, there was a hustings at Alpington Baptist Church, and one of the guys wasn't present, and it was very easy. I mean, he should have been present. But it was very easy just to, you know, take jabs at this person who wasn't there, who couldn't defend themselves. And that was like for Paul. He couldn't defend himself because he wasn't there. They were clearly blowing their own trumpet. I hope no one's afraid of balloons. Is anyone afraid of balloons? I'm not going to bang it, okay? Or I'm planning not to. They should be in here somewhere. I did have them. Oh no. Where did I put them? I did have some balloons. Oh no, I've left them at home. Okay, oh well, you can imagine. Sorry. For those who blow their own trumpet, it's a bit like blowing a balloon. It might start to look impressive, but sooner or later, it's going to pop. or sooner or later it's going to slip out of the hand, you know. Paul's situation was difficult, and his hand was forced, really, that he had to defend his ministry. But he didn't want to boast, and he didn't want to say, hey, look how great I am, but he had to defend himself. And Paul could easily have boasted about many things. He had a Jewish heritage. He'd been trained by some of the greatest people. He'd served Christ. In chapter 11, he speaks about his imprisonments, his sufferings. And in chapter 12, where we get to now, he talks about his spiritual experiences. And this was obviously something that these super apostles claimed. They'd had amazing visions and they'd had amazing experiences. And this was how they were convincing the people to follow them. But Paul writes in such a way that we could think he was talking about someone else. He's not blowing his own trumpet. He says, I know a man. And you think, who's this man? Who's he talking about? And you could read it and actually think that Paul was just talking about someone else. But he's talking about himself. You know when someone says, I have a friend who's got a problem. And you're thinking, a friend? Of course. Paul's saying, hey, I know a man. But he's talking about himself. A man 14 years ago who had a spiritual experience. He was taken into heaven. I won't go into details about this third heaven, but basically he's taken into heaven. And so vivid was this experience that Paul can't tell whether he was in his body or out of his body. He couldn't really tell. It was so vivid and so real, but he couldn't tell kind of what had happened. And he experienced things that were so sacred and personal that he won't tell details. And he doesn't actually, in any of his writing, tell us details about what happened. Now, date-wise, this is not his experience when he met Jesus. Paul was on his way to persecute Christians, and he was stopped by a bright light on the road to Damascus. And those around him couldn't see what was happening. He was blinded and had to have someone pray for him. But he met Jesus on the road. But this isn't the time that he's talking of. He had another experience, and this shouldn't surprise us. Our New Testament faith in Jesus Christ is not just theoretical. It's not just about brain. Actually, it's a spiritual faith. Paul had visions. He had dreams. He had spiritual experiences. If you read the book of Acts, you can see Paul is guided constantly by supernatural ways as God speaks to him. He speaks to him through dreams, through visions. These weren't weird and wacky things. All the things that happened to Paul, all of these experiences led him to God and brought transformation in his life. We as a church, we're not looking for just spiritual experience. We're looking to encounter the living God. And that's what happened to Paul. It resulted in transformation. So we don't blow our own balloon up. Paul didn't want to do that, but he felt that he had to speak to the church. He had to help them understand who he was. But this is what he says in verse 6. Now, before I get to verse 6, don't you want to know what happened to Paul? Isn't there something that you think, wow, I'd love to hear about that? Okay, and the Corinthian church would have been like, Paul, you're just telling us about this. We want to know more. But Paul is so keen that he doesn't say anything. In verse 6, he says, but I refrain from it. That is, from boasting about his spiritual experiences. So that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. Paul speaks in such a way that we could think he's speaking about another person. But that's because he wants to be judged by who he is in their presence and who they know him to be. His character. Paul didn't want to be judged or received on past spiritual experiences, but on his love and service for them. Paul wanted to be real with the church and for them to follow him on the basis of that, not because of anything else. And even in this passage, Paul shares so deeply of himself. He's real. He's real with his weaknesses. Now, Paul was an incredible man, you know, probably followed Christ in a way that Not many others did, but he's so real about his weaknesses. And God has made us weak to show his power. Verse 7, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. Paul confessed to having a weakness, a thorn in the flesh. We could spend hours discussing that. Was it something spiritual? Was it something physical? Was it to do with the persecutions? It's much speculation. I don't know. If I was going to fall on one side, I think I'd probably think it was something physical, but we don't know. But Paul sees this as something that has the potential to limit his impact, has the potential to limit what he was going to do. And he tells of how he pleaded with God three times for this to be removed. He prayed. But in effect, God answered no. He asked, God, can you remove this from me? Whatever it was, can you remove this? And God said no. Sometimes God may say no to us in our prayers. But, this is what he says to him, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God promised Paul that he would experience his power because of his weakness. And there's a truth here that we need to grasp hold of, that we are weak. God has given us weaknesses so that we can experience his power. Self-sufficiency was one of the problems with the fall. Wanted to be like God. Our weakness helps us, firstly, to rely on God, not to be self-sufficient. You know, when you're weak, when you can't handle things, that's when you pray, isn't it? When you think, I can handle this, you're less likely to pray about it. Secondly, a realistic expectation of ourselves. If you're just strong in every area, very easy to have an unrealistic expectation of yourself. Thirdly, to respect the weaknesses of others. And when you know your own weaknesses and then you see others who have weaknesses, you can relate to them. You can respect that. You can say, actually, my weakness might be different from yours, but I understand what it is to be weak. The fourth thing is it requires us to work together. The best teams are the ones where one person's weakness is covered by another person's strength. That's when team works well together. And actually, the church is all about team. Not all have the same gift. We all have different gifts. We all have weaknesses. And it's as we recognize these and draw near to God that we can experience his power. Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 16 says this. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. These verses remind us that Jesus was like us. We celebrate that at Christmas, don't we? We celebrate the incarnation. You know, chili con carne, it means chili with meat. Incarnation, Jesus added meat to himself. God became human. We celebrate that. And he became human and took on all the limitations of humanity, so that he could save us, so that he could be fully human. Jesus, our high priest, our way of accessing relationship with the Father, understands what it is to be human. He understands what it is to be weak, to be tired. And he's there before God on our behalf, so that we may draw near in our weakness. If you're feeling weak today, you can draw near. This is good news. You don't have to be strong. You don't have to have it all sorted to be able to experience God's grace and power. The Bible says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us while we were still sinners, while we were still a mess. And while we still struggle, there is grace and there is mercy for us. And it's in recognising our sinfulness and our weakness and our need of God that then we can experience his grace and mercy. It's only when we turn to God in repentance that actually we can enjoy his grace and mercy. It's only when we turn to him and we respond to him. Final thing for this morning. We need to fight for honesty. Verse 9, therefore, because God's power is made perfect in weakness, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. Paul's opponents were keen to boast about their supposed strengths and devastate Paul by attacking his weaknesses. Yet Paul recognised that God wanted to use his weaknesses to show his power. And our world desperately needs to see real people, warts and all, weaknesses and frailties. Because we don't really respond to the highlight reels of people's achievements. We respond to real people, don't we? I don't know, did anyone watch Adele performing on ITV? One person. Whoa. You need to watch it. It's good. If you like Adele's music, it's absolutely brilliant. But you know what you saw was her being very real. She stopped one of her new songs because she wasn't happy with how it was going. She was very real about her vulnerabilities. And there was connections made with the... You could see it in the audience. Like she had like the lower bit was sort of all famous people. And then there was sort of fans above. But you could see the connection. She was just being real. And our world responds to people who are real. It really does. And we need to be real. There's a mental health epidemic. And that's probably because half the time people aren't real. We need to be real and honest with each other and the world around us. You know, we're not people who've got it all sorted, but we're people who just know that we're weak and we need God. Hey, that's what a Christian is. It's... We know that we need God and we seek his empowerment by his spirit in our lives to give us the strength to carry on. You know, the past 6 weeks has probably been some of the toughest. It's probably near 2 months, actually. A few days before Kate's birthday, I managed to get a free voucher to go to a health club and she was ill. And she's not really got better since then. She's survived. And I think as a family, we've survived. And for us as a family, our battle is health, and particularly for the children. Last night, Jack had a temperature of 39.4. The week before, Rosie had a temperature. I've done a COVID test, okay, so before you step in. This is our battle. This is where I feel weak. Jack was ill last night. Rosie wakes up in tears, growing pains. I'm like, how can we keep pushing on? I'm tired, I've had a sore throat for 3 weeks. How do we keep going? But yet I know that God is at work. I know I need to be here. I know I need to be here this Sunday. I know I need to be doing what God's called me to. But I feel weak. I feel weak at this time. And I want to be honest. And we need to fight for being real. You know, in our bouncing forwards or in our home groups, we can talk theory or we can talk about our real lives. And we need to find ways of fighting for honesty and being real with each other. Because that's how we're going to grow together. That's how we're going to help each other. And that's what the world most needs is real people who say, look, you know, I'm weak. You know, often people outside think, Christians just think we're strong people and we've got it all together and we're moral people. The world needs to know that actually we haven't got it all together. But we're just trusting in a Saviour and holding on to him and asking him for strength and power day by day. So I want to ask you to consider how you can fight for honesty with your friends, with your family, with the church. How can we take our levels of honesty deeper than we are currently? How can we share our battles and struggles together? There's unhelpful ways of sharing those things, but actually we could do better at sharing some of those. We should all have people who we can share our struggles with. When Paul arrived at Corinth, against the backdrop of a love of great orators, this was a Greek city, they loved to hear people talk, they loved the rhetoric, they loved to hear about philosophy. And Paul says this, he says, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith may not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." We need people, we're not here to talk philosophy, we're not here to talk self-help. We want all of us to be trusting in the power of God. And the power of God is most clearly shown in the defeat of a man nailed to a tree. That's where Jesus shows his greatest power. And Paul says, you know, this is foolishness to the Greeks. And it's foolishness, foolishness of the cross. But this is what we believe. We believe that the power of God is shown in the weakness of Jesus dying on the cross. And we believe that God wants to work in our weaknesses too. Why don't we pray? I'll ask the band to come up. And we're going to pray. Lord, we recognise that there is a temptation to hide our weaknesses. There is a temptation to put on our Sunday best, to come smiling, looking like everything's going fine in our lives when really it's not. And Lord, I want to ask that you would help us to be real, to be honest with our weaknesses and our frailties. Lord, I thank you that you don't ask us to be strong. You ask us to rely on you. You ask us to seek you first. To be filled with your Spirit. To be daily filled with your Spirit. Ask, Lord, would you help us to keep seeking you for empowerment? Lord, that we would be able to walk in our hours of weakness and our times of weaknesses. But Lord, we do ask you for demonstrations of your power. Lord, we recognise that Paul came and there were signs and wonders that followed as he spoke your words. And Lord, we do want to see the power of God amongst us, Lord. We want to see healing. We want to see miracles. We want to see you working, Lord, not through our great words, but through the power of the Spirit. And Lord, we pray, we see the demonstration of you at work. Lord, we do pray for healing. Lord, we pray for freedom. Lord, we pray for transformation of lives. Lord, we pray for the gospel to break forth. We pray for salvation. Lord, these are all signs of your kingdom coming. And we pray, Lord, would your kingdom come amongst us? We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.